And I'm Tamara. We are joined on the phone with the Times Union Hudson Valley reporter Roger Hannigan Gilson. Roger, can you hear us?
I can hear you fine. Hey.
Oh, great. We've got you too. So you have been back to Wyndham this week.
Yes. I have been up at Wyndham several of the days in the past week. You know, when I was up there, they were still kind of waiting on snow in the town itself. But yeah, it's kind of an ongoing story with Wyndham transitioning to the Wyndham Mountain Club.
And there were there actually skiers on the mountain after the snow this week?
I was not on the mountain. I was in the town. I did get a photograph early last week, and, you know, it was pretty sparse. But that was before, like, the snow really came. So, you know, it was probably weather dependent. I mean, everyone says that it really kind of kicks in after Christmas. That's when the true skiing season starts.
So how is the skiing season going to start on Wyndham Mountain this year? That, I guess the locals are wondering that, right?
Yeah. It's going to be different this year. So basically in October, Wyndham Mountain announced in a somewhat ham-handed way that they were transitioning to Wyndham Mountain Club. They did this on social media. And they also took out advertising in some of the local publications that just said, like, say goodbye to the old Wyndham Mountain, introducing the Wyndham Mountain Club. Some people were kind of perturbed by that because there was little information as to what that would entail, but it's kind of come out since then. This season, essentially the Wyndham Mountain Club is a club that it costs $175,000 to join, and then there's annual fees. You know, for this, you would get kind of in the inside circle of Wyndham. This season, at least, you can still go up for the day. However, not on Saturdays. On Saturdays, it needs to be part of a two-day pass. So you can't just, like, dodge up on a Saturday, unfortunately, beginning this winter. And that rule also applies to holidays, to President's Day weekend. They're not allowing one-day passes. They're also capping the number of skiers a bit lower than last year to 4,000. It was about 7,000 before the pandemic, and it's been lowered since then. Initially, you know, for social distancing, but now they're lowering it further. And this is all kind of moving in the direction of Wyndham Mountain becoming this semi-private four-season resort / club. They're constructing all these amenities. There's going to be like an indoor pool. There's going to be a racket sports complex, you know, for tennis and so forth. There's going to be a spa. All these things that are being constructed will be for the club members only. So what the town is kind of fearing, there's kind of like an initial emotional reaction, which is like, why are you making this exclusive? This is all our mountain. And then there's the more financial, more, you know, set in stone response, which is, and this is what I kind of addressed in the last article, is how will this affect local businesses? Because, you know, Wyndham's kind of a company town, only in the sense that it's Wyndham Mountain is like the center of the economy. I'm not saying Wyndham's corrupt or anything. I know company towns tended to be, so that's not what I'm trying to imply. But
it's not Queeman's.
No. Oh, was I allowed to say that? Anyway,
I can say that. Not you, maybe.
Yeah. I'll make a neutral noise. All right, but you know, all these hospitality businesses, there's something like a dozen hotels. They're mostly like boutique hotels and motels in Wyndham. And they do, you know, as one would think, most of their business off visitors, and most of those people are visiting Wyndham Mountain. And then, you know, the other ancillary businesses, there's restaurants, there's bars. I talked to several people that said during the winter that, like, A, the busy season was Christmas to President's Day, and B, that, like, during the winter, 70% of their business came from visitors to the mountain. So, I mean, it's almost if Wyndham Mountain didn't exist. I mean, like, I'm not saying Wyndham the town would not exist, but it would be completely different.
No, much smaller. I mean, just imagine if you're a bar owner, you would definitely prefer 7,000 skiers on the mountain rather than 4,000 skiers on the mountain, because that means that, you know, an extra 20 people are coming to your bar, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, you know, Wyndham only has, like, 1,700 people in it, and... I mean, that population could not support the number of bars and restaurants, and not that it's huge, but the number of bars and restaurants and obviously hotels that exist in Wyndham. So I talked to a lot of business owners. Some of them were hard to, it took a while because a lot of them didn't want to speak candidly or on the record. I also just talked to a lot of people, you know, I was just walking around Wyndham for 2 days. And just talked to a lot of random people about what they thought about the situation. And there was kind of two groups. There was groups. I'm going to say there's three groups. There's the groups that were like, this is going to be a disaster. There was the group, and more residents and non-business owners said that. Although one might have to take into consideration that perhaps business owners didn't want overly negative views of Wyndham in the newspaper.
Right.
So there's people that were like, this is going to be an absolute disaster. There's people that were like, people are being dramatic about this. Wyndham Mountain has been around forever and it's gone through many ownership changes. And at one point was actually a private mountain in the 1960s. So this is just one of many changes. And then there was a group of people that, you know, we're kind of in the middle of those two things. But, I mean, I heard the term cautiously optimistic from, like, three different business owners. At the same time, they were kind of, without me asking, kind of pushing back on the negativity. I mean, the thing is, like, Wyndham's a very small, close-knit community, and some people just didn't want to stir the pot, throw gas on the fire, whatever idiom you want to use. But, you know, there was, like, a general sense of unease about it. There hadn't been great communication from the mountain. There was a kind of like this annual luncheon they had a couple weeks ago, but that wasn't, you know, officially called for the transition to Wyndham Mountain Club. It's just something they do every year. And there was some reassurances there. But, you know, I heard several business owners being like, there hasn't been any communication. We don't know what's going on. It's just the rumor mill and it's press releases. And we don't really know what the end point is going to be here, like what the end game is.
So, but is it going to be Wyndham is going to have fewer visitors that have more money?
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point because, I mean, if you can afford $175,000, you have a lot of money.
Very few people that live in Greene County can afford $175,000 for a ski, annual ski membership, right?
Yeah. It'd be interesting if, like, that'd be an interesting article, like, who could afford. It would be kind of like a Forbes list for Greene County. So, like, I guess the question is, like, if, you know, there's 10 families visiting versus one family with 10 times the amount of money, does it equal kind of this, does it kind of come out even? But it doesn't, unfortunately, because that family isn't visiting, like, 10 bars each night, you know? It can't spread its spending around like 10 families could.
Yeah, so they're not going to get gas 10 times. They're not going to, you know, all kinds of things, right?
So, there's things like that. But, you know, thing is like it's trying to become a Four Seasons destination, Wyndham Mountain, and that's why it's getting the racquetball complex and the pool. They're also doing this thing that's pretty cool. It's they're having a Hudson River outpost. We don't know the details about it yet, but they're going to have some property on the Hudson River, and you can go down there if you're part of the mountain club and get kayaking lessons and that kind of thing. But what was pointed out to me subtly by a couple people is, you know, like, climate change is here. Was the existing trajectory of Wyndham Mountain going to work out anyway? I mean, we're just seeing less and less snow, less days where, like, you can ski. So, you know, this is me speculating to a degree, but, I mean, maybe Wyndham and its new owners were just realizing the trajectory of forces beyond their control, and their decision was what it is here.
But they also eliminated some of the summer activities, like the mountain biking.
They did, and people are pretty crushed about that, I will say. The mountain biking was, it was like a nationally and like world-renowned course. They had a World Cup, I don't know mountain biking that well, but they had a World Cup race a few years back.
The new Catskill bike store, the folks that own that helped organize it and are definitely upset that they're losing those trails.
Oh, yeah, I meant to talk to them. Anyway, I mean, it is upsetting because it was, like, really well done, and a lot of people appreciated it. What I heard was that, you know, they were less likely to spend money in the town than skiers. I don't think that's why the decision was made. I don't know why the decision was made particularly, but... you know, what the mountain had said is that it was like a very particular, you know, particular outdoor activity, that the trails were for like very advanced riders, and it's not like anyone could just hop on a bike and try them out. And they were trying to make it more of like, you know, something that they're trying to make their summertime activities more things that everyone could do. I don't know why they could not have continued having the bike trails. I mean, they cost money to maintain, but not much money. But the decision was made to there's not going to be those mountain biking trails this coming summer.
Any other major change that people should know about on the Wyndham Mountain?
Those are the big ones. This is going to be a multi-year process. I was able to acquire this letter a couple weeks ago that was sent to members of the old Wyndham Mountain Club, which existed. And essentially it was laying out what the future would bring. And, you know, it said that, yeah, people will always be able to come up here and ski, but the focus was going to be on members of the club, of which, you know, they're trying to sell 450 memberships, so it's not going to be like a huge club, and that is worrying a lot of business people too. Like, if the focus is on just these 450 times five or whatever, however many family members they have, how many people are ultimately going to be coming up in the winter or the summer? But, you know, I also heard that if this happened like 10, 20 years ago, it would have been more upsetting, but more people are actually coming up for non-skiing activities at this point. And it's partially just kind of the Catskills finding its economic footing again as like kind of a local tourist destination. I talked to a couple of business owners that were like, yeah, a few years ago, the majority of our business was Christmas through President's Day. But now sometimes we get as much business in midsummer because people are coming up, you know, just to enjoy the outdoors, to hike. There's people that go up to Leaf Watch or Leaf Peep, Leaf Peepers, whatever they're called. So you know, kind of the town and the Catskills are moving a bit in the direction of becoming a four-season destination anyway, which helps everyone out.
Yeah, I think we saw that during the pandemic, the people coming up from the city and elsewhere, the traffic that was in Hunter or on 23A and stuff like that, and the problems with the water holes where people swim with lots of trash left over and people complaining about that. So we've definitely seen more activity, more tourism, I think, lately, right?
Yeah. And, you know, there's, like, good and bad aspects to it. Like, there is with everything, you know. I mean, it's good for there to be, you know, money coming into the local economy. But, yeah, what happened in Hunter, I mean, it was kind of a disaster on 23A. And it led to all these issues. And, you know, the problem is that the Catskills don't have the infrastructure to take that type of tourism. And, you know, it led to worse things. A lot of people drowned in swimming holes last summer, like three in a few weeks. And I'm not blaming that directly on tourism, but I mean, they're random swimming holes. It's not like there's lifeguards.
So I guess we'll have to wait and see how this impacts. But we've had one snow, and I guess, but the like you said, the major season doesn't really start until about 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, and that's when we'll really see. I talked to one hotel owner that said that he was already seeing his bookings down from where they would be, like bookings for after Christmas were down from where they would normally be this season. So hopefully, like you said, it was very significant, and hopefully that is just him, or that will not be the case.
Did he think it was just because people have heard that Wyndham is changing or something? Why would the bookings be down?
Well, I believe him when he said the bookings were down. I'm not sure if his assumption that it was because of Wyndham changing that this was the case. I mean, with the Saturday thing that you need a 2-day pass to ski on Saturdays, you know, how would that affect the hospitality industry? Because most of those people, since, you know, they're only up there for one day, they're just dodging in and out. So, you know, the hotel owner, well, I don't want to say either way, but, you know, he was very convinced, and I believe he knows his business, that that was the reason.
All right, so we'll keep monitoring Wyndham Mountain and see how things change, I guess, once the busy season starts. But then for the news business, the slow season is about to start, isn't it? Are you busy next week, or are you starting to slow down?
Oh, we never slow down.
No, well, there is a little less news, though, right?
Christmas off, so.
So are you going to – what are you working on for next week, or
– Well, this morning I'm writing up, it was kind of a major decision, but it was in Hudson. The Hudson Planning Board voted to allow a haul road that connects a mine, the Colarusa's mine outside Hudson, to the dock. I kind of assume someone has already spoken about this in your program because it's so Hudson.
They haven't yet, but we've been wanting to. So, yeah, tell us about so this is a win for people who didn't want trucks in the city of Hudson, or it's a win for environmentalists, or it's a lose for all those people, or who is the Colarusa is the victor? Or who came out on top in this?
Well, I mean, the Colarusa is definitely did. This is what they've wanted for a long time. I mean, essentially, you know, Colarusa has a mine outside Hudson as a dock on the waterfront to get stuff it mined from the dock outside Hudson. It had to go on the truck route. That's the state truck route, which goes through Hudson. A lot of people did not like this. They viewed it as an environmental justice issue because, you know, these are like giant dump trucks spewing pollution, and they're very noisy, and they're also bad for the city streets. So there was a rallying cry, you know, keep the gravel trucks off the city streets. So the other option is what Colarusso's wanted anyway, which was to use its haul road, which it already owned, which circumnavigates the city of Hudson, but they need to expand it to two lanes so trucks can go both in and out, whereas right now it's a one-way, so trucks have to, you know, travel on the haul road when going, you know, only during half the journey, and the other half they're going to the city. So, you know, the people, Linda Mussman, who is a supervisor in the city of Hudson, was very behind the keep the gravel trucks off the city streets movement. A lot of people were, and then there was people on the other side whose argument was a bit more complicated, but essentially they want to preserve the waterfront as being for, you know, recreation, for the enjoyment of Hudson's citizenry. And they said that, you know, it was impossible to do this when there was an industrial operation right next to the city park.
And so all that is staying in place. The trucks are still going to drive on the streets, and the industrial site is still going to be next to the city park.
The first part, yes. The second part, no. I mean, for the immediate future. But what was voted on was allowing Colarusso's to expand the haul road so trucks can completely avoid the city.
Mm.
So they'll go to the docks and from the docks on the haul road. You know, I'm simplifying the issue a lot because it's been going on for like more than 10 years. But that's it in a nutshell. You know,
and does it have to be
happy?
This was the planning board decision. Does it have to be approved by the full council, or is it a done deal?
No, it's just it ends with the planning board.
So this is the end of this story that we've had for years, or are there going to be appeals?
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, that's what
it's the end of perhaps the most major part of this story. People opposed to, you know, the Colarusso's haul road situation argue, and, you know, with a lot of merit, that it's not supposed to be operating on the riverfront at all, because essentially property ownership along the riverfront, and a decision that was made years ago that has been very contentious about you know, whether they have the official right by the city to operate on the riverfront, because they have a conditional use permit right now, and you know, it's believed that they violated the conditional use permit by doing additional construction along the waterfront.
And that is the haul road goes through environmentally sensitive wetlands too, right? That's another part of this.
It does. Yeah. It does. That's another big part about this, because perhaps there's no great route for giant dump trucks to go, because it's either through the city streets, through, like, you know, the most economically disadvantaged parts of Hudson, or it's on the haul road, which abuts wetlands and, like, environmentally sensitive areas. So, you know, there's no ideal place for the trucks to go, I guess.
Yeah, if there was an ideal route, this would have been solved 10 years ago, right? 'Cause
it wouldn't have been an issue in the first place.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have anything to write about.
Yeah, so it's obviously there's not a perfect solution to this situation, but at least Colarusso, I guess, is happy about it. They're, if ever, people don't know, they're a large construction company that gets many public contracts from different municipalities.
Oh, yeah, and from the county and a bit further upstate. I mean, you know, they're a big employer. They do a lot of business in the county.
And they make political donations, too, and
You know, I'm not talking to Paul till a little later today, but I'm sure he'll be happy about the decision. Yeah.
Yeah. So we can we'll be able to read about that later tonight in the Times Union or tomorrow in the Times Union.
Well, it's going up digitally around noon, and then it should be in tomorrow's paper edition. Yes.
Anything else you want to preview or anything else you're working on?
Yeah, kind of. Well, next up is Columbia County's airport. $1.5 million, you could own your own airport.
Oh, it's for sale?
Yeah, it's for sale.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because I was talking to a couple people with this, and they're like, there's an airport in Columbia County? And I'm like, yes, you wouldn't know it, but there is. You know, it's not like any commercial jetliners or commercial flights of any kind go in there, which is why you'd be able to own it for $1.5 million. But it's in Ghent. It's near, or it's alongside 9H. And I drive that road all the time, and I never see planes taking off from there. But
you see more golfers on the neighboring golf course than you do planes moving.
Yeah, I wonder if it disrupts their golf game, just the occasional takeoff.
I don't golf, so I can't say how distracting an airplane is to a swing.
Yeah, I did for 6 painful hours in middle school, and then never again.
I think my PE classes in college were golf and bowling.
Really? So you didn't go for the football?
No,
lacrosse,
no,
perhaps.
I did not. No.
Yeah, it's funny. I did not have. Is that? Did they generally have like PE?
I don't know. I was going to junior college then, so I think maybe the junior college mandated that because I don't imagine I would be taking it on my own.
Yeah, I went to SUNY New Paltz, and, like, the student body was kind of, like, anti-sport, if anything. You know, it's just funny because, like, traditionally, like, oh, the jocks are the popular kids. Whereas, like, the kids on the sports team, people are like, why are you wasting your time with that, you know? they were kind of like I mean, they weren't ostracized or anything, but it's just like, oh, you're on a sports team, okay. No one ever came and saw the games.
Well, we've wandered into childhood nostalgia, so I think we're done with our regular segments.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Roger Hannigan-Gilson, for joining us and telling us what's going to be in the Times Union or what has been in the Times Union you've been working on, and we will talk to you again next Thursday.